Go ahead and start. Okay, go.
If you recall, the last time we discussed the last three makas, Arba Choshech and Makas Bechoros, and the special things that we find by that particular, by those particular makas. There are a couple of interesting points that I'd like to bring out regarding these three plagues that were put upon Paro. That's right. First question, I just want to start with a question, but I'm going to get to it a little bit later. It bothers me, but it says by the Makif Choshech that Vayikra, Paro called to Moshe Rabbeinu, called to Moshe Rabbeinu, and wanted actually they should take out, he said, Vayikra Paro El Moshe, and he said, you go out of Mitzrayim and so forth, just leave the animals here. If the idea of Choshech over here was that it was so dark and it was a special creation that the Rishonim bring, the thickness of dark, and they didn't move from the spot, how did Paro get in touch with Moshe? You ever think of that? How did Paro get in touch with Moshe? The question. Okay. Before we get to that, I'm going to start a little before that by the Maki of Arba. And I want to bring out a certain basic concept, and with that, we'll go through the whole idea. It says the Pasuk brings that by Moshe, which we are in, and Paro said, "Kotosi," that he sinned. This time he said, "Kotosi Hashem Elokeichem v'lochem." He didn't say "Ani v'ami." He admitted that he himself was taki guilty, and he begged Moshe Rabbeinu, "Sonoch Kotosi," and "V'hatiru Hashem Elokeichem," "V'hatiru," meaning you should pray to your God, to Rabbeinu Shalom, that he should take away this particular market. Like I said, market, Movis as they call it, this death. So it's interesting to note that by all the markets, if you noticed last week, whenever Paro called Moshe and he told him to be mispallel, to take away the markets, he always said it in the form of Loshin Rabin, plural, Hatirubadi, pray for me or for the people and so forth, and that they should take or they take away this particular market. Take away this particular market. By each one of the markets. Before we spoke Loshin, I said Loshin Rabin. I always said that. So we spoke. And Moshe would always answer him. Moshe Rabbeinu said that Moshe Rabbeinu was a sparrow and the Arba went out of the tribe. So I'm introduced that with an interesting story that's told about the Satmar Rebbe that he had once met with the Ravadiga Rosh Yeshiva of Avraham Yaffe. I heard that Avraham Yaffen had a place in Borough Park for many years. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember if this story happened when the Safra was in Eretz Yisrael, or it was while they were both in America. This I don't know. Of course, at one time the Safra and the Chatzilah was in Eretz Yisrael. It seemed that Avraham Yaffen was a great force in the Bali Musa, the Vardik. The Vardig of Musa, that was the base of Musa, and he himself was a son-in-law of Avramzun du Salant, from Yisro Salant, Mamish, from the whole basic Yisoidis of Musa. What happened? So he tried, he wanted to impress the Satmarov that either it was it Bali Musa and so forth. Their mitos, their character, their soul, and their the way they comport themselves. And the maid is always with the Indian of Emes, the Messiah's Nefesh for truth. You say the truth, Moshe. Say the truth. And that always counted, and no matter what it is, to Emes. And he told them, he said, this particular story that happened one time with his Shver, with his Nundel Salant, that they come to him, they should sign a certain letter, kind of a letter for someone that needed a refuah. And he said, okay, he told his secretary to write out the letter and he'll sign it. And he gave, when he gave him the letter to sign, so Abdul Salant read the letter, and then he said, no, he can't sign it. It's nisht emes. There's not emes in the letter. So the secretary said, what's wrong? He said, you put over here that we will be mispalel for you. We will be mispalel for you. He said, it's not we will be mispalel for you. I'm going to be mispalel for him. It's a Lashon Yochid, not a Lashon Rab. Even though, if you note, at all times, by Hasidim, by Rebbes, and so forth, they always speak in a social, in a form of humbleness and humility of anivus, and it's up mizrogen. We say they don't want to take it on themselves that they're the outstanding individual, but for him, there's no such thing. You have to say the and I will mispalo for you. So he went and he fixed the letter and he signed it. So he said to the Satmarov, you see that how mamish, how Messias Nefesh was for an MS, that even in a thing where you can always touch your eyes and so forth, that because of the humbleness and humility, we say, Beloshin, we will help you. We'll try our best. We will follow and so forth. Not that he wants to take it for himself in that sense. But still, no, Dafke said, I have to do it and so forth. So Sakya said, says there, finds there, good, he says. Does the Mamash Ramban? Does the Ramban? So from Yafin didn't know what Ramban, he wouldn't want to ask him which Ramban and what did I be to him. What did you Ramban? He didn't understand. And that was it. And then the top the left, and that's all. And then he started to look through all the Ramban. And the Chidushin Ramban, he never found such a Ramban. There's a Ramban that a bunch of speak about. He needed a Yochid Rab in the sense of Chesed, of Emes in that sense. A few years later, he's learning Parshas Bo, and he happy said, Oi, the Rebbe's Takya Goyin, he says. He found the Ramban. And the Ramban is right over here. We'll bring out that Ramban, the uptight of Moshe Rabbeinu. I said, when the prophet says, Ari said to him, Ha'atiru Hashem Elokeichem. What does it mean, Ha'atiru Hashem? He said, the Lashon Pure. Why? Because Aaron and Moshe were there. So, out of covered for Aaron and Moshe, he said, you should be Mispalo. But Ari knew who was Mispalo. Moshe was Mispalo. And every one of the markets you go through, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the markets over here till here, he said, Moshe is spoiled. Moshe is Mispalo. Moshe was the one who was Mispalo. Aaron never was Mispalo to stop the marker. Only Moshe. But Pari spoke with their covered. So look what the Ramban says over here. Look what the Ramban says. So the Ramban says, and as Pari said, Sono Chatosi. How come he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please, Sono, please? He says, also, Derech covered Moshe, because as I told you last time, there was a certain connection between Pari and Moshe, and there are covered between them. Of course, I told you Moshe to Pari, and Pari felt a certain longing for Moshe. There was all, and there are covered. He spoke to him, son, no, please. He didn't give him an order, and so forth. He says, Kihu Elohim lePari. He was like a master over Pari, so to speak, as the Bereshit said, at the TLA Elohim. And then he says, this from Pan, the God of me oid the Eretz Mitzrayim, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was well liked in Mitzrayim. We're going to come to that right away. And the Tiru Hashem Elokecha. Oh, Ramban says, Lishnehem. He said to both of them, Kichein Yoimer Paroi, Bechol Pam Derech Musa. That's how Pam, that the Paroi spoke to them each time by the market. That's the Derech Eretz. You have two people in front of you, and you speak for both of them. He says, Ki Yoidea Paroi, Paroi knew that Ki Yoidea Paroi, Ki Moshe Hu HaMatir, that Moshe was really the one that was the Mispalel. Kichein Omaloi, Moshe said, Lemosai Eretir. By the Maisa with Tzvardeya and so forth. The Atarti, by another Makir, I will pray for you and so forth. Ephraim says, Kapai, which I'll be Hashem by the Borod. Moshe, only Moshe alone. The Atarti El Hashem and so forth. Ephraim says, Kapai. Why? Kiloyed. Now here's the Kiloyedaber Moshe Bozer Loshin Rabin. Moshe didn't answer him, the Loshin Rabim. He said, well, we'll take care of it, okay. Shilayotzi Dover Shekem Ipiv. The Rabban said, that's what the Satmar meant. And he said, he says, a foolish Ramban. That's also in the concept of Sheker. But this, but he didn't want to sign the paper where it said over there, we will be responsible for you because I'm going to be responsible. So how could I sign we will be responsible? Even though it could be interpreted in such a way. But the Gavi Moshe said, by him it was Ramban called the Shloyotzi Shekem Ipiv. It has a din of Sheker. It's not the din of Anivus over here. You have to tell like it is. And this brought out, I saw from Rav Avrom, what do you call it, Yafin, the Shishim was the spoil. The Sato, what? Just there was something to say, just told him, yeah, there's Dr. Ramban, Sato Ramban. So we see, but we see, what I want to bring out from there is the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu was his humbleness and humility. Ish Moshe onav miyoid mikol. So of him, it would be surely befitting to say, like a Chassidish person say, Nivon and so like an Rebbe would speak and so forth. No. Moshe was Moshe Emes v'Torosei Emes. When it came to the concept of Emes, there's no such thing as Anivus. No such thing as no matter what it may be. Yikov HaDin is Sahor. And that as brought down, mentioned by Achrayim, I once spoke on this in Pirkei Avos, it's not over here. This is years ago, I once spoke on the difference between Aaron and Moshe, between Sholem and Emes. Aaron was Sholem, Moshe was Emes. Emes, there's no such thing as compromise. There's no such thing as a cold peace, a hot peace, or a warm peace. Emes is Emes. There's only one Emes. And it can't be any different. And nothing can affect it to make it look like it's Emes when it's not Emes. That's what you call pure Emes, pure truth. And that's what Ramban is saying over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the Yesod of Emes, he said, if he would put the Loshin Rabim, would be Shekin. Mama Shekin. It's not true. He's the one that was wrong over here. Not a question of, and that is not Gaiva, not this is the Metzius. It's what it is. I tell it like it is. He's the one that's being responsible. That's what it'll help or not. It's something else. But I'm the one that's doing it. I can't put different types of words over here. What is the concept of Tila? And this was the Yesod. This was the Yesod that we find. Of what Moshe Rabbeinu represented, Moshe Emes, which is also Emes. That concept of Emes that we see over here. And that's what the Satmar brought into him. He said that in order to come to Bali Musa for that, he brought, that means he meant his nun bist du noch, es fein, kann Bale Busse ganz fein, aber es ist noch Ramban, 800 years ago, der Rishon, der Ramban says, klar, that would have been Sheke, he said, but after the Musa. In fact, Pari went with Musa, to use the Rab, as the Ramban says, but Moshe was Emes, it had to be Emes, that's what it is, and that's how you say it. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu therefore represented this particular concept of truth. So when it says over here a little bit later, it says that Vayiten Hashem eschein ha'om. When the Rebbeinu wanted they should take the Klei Kesef, the Klei Zohar, to borrow from the Mitzrayim I spoke about last time and so forth, the Pasuk says over here, Isha Yisrael Usa, Klei Chesef, Klei Zohar, Ish Me'eveu, and so forth. It says, Moshe Chaim Be'enei Om, and it says, Gam Ha'ish Moshe. Gam, there's a line. Gam Ha'ish Moshe, Godol Me'oid, the Eretz Mitzrayim. That's what? Godol Me'oid, Eretz Mitzrayim. Be'enei Avdei Paroi, Ve'enei Om. What is this one? Be'enei Avdei Paroi, Ve'enei Om. Meshach Chochmah says, what is this combination of here? Avdei Paroi, Eliyom, Godel, Godel, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, automatically. What is the specifying, being out this particular point over here? But what we just said, that's the Moshe Rabbeinu represented the site of Teres Emes. When you have people, for example, in fact, I once spoke with one of the, I remember now I remind myself that many, many years ago, many, many years ago, one of the fellas became a chosid in RJJ. I don't want to mention the name now. And they made a simcha on the spot, all the Beis Medrash and everybody. And he asked me to speak, say something. And I spoke from this particular piece over here at that time, I recall. I spoke from this particular piece. First, what did the Meshech Chochmah say? And I brought out that point, which I thought that I would cover. He said, certain people, for example, what are the greatness of a person? A greatness of a person could be manifest itself, to take place in two different ways. One way a person could be considered very great because of his wisdom. Well, this wisdom is midos, is the way he comports himself. Meaning the man, the person, the individual exudes a certain greatness on people, and the people recognize that, accept him for that, and he's recognized for that. Another type of person could be recognized not because of what he's great or brilliant, but a certain activity that he performed. He performed something and he accomplished something. He did something. He created a miracle. He did something. Oh, so people still look up to him. He becomes idol. Becomes an idol. Like Yahweh say about the Goyim. The soul, they become a baseball player. He hit 61 home runs. He's a god. I mean, on a point that whatever people consider what your greatness in that particular sense, he has a record and so forth. He scored 50 points in the basketball game. It becomes an idol or something. If you ever see these things. Now, therefore, the person that's because of Chochmah and Gadlus, who recognizes that greatly, people that are on a higher level, intellectual people, they recognize quicker and more immediate the concept of seichel, of das, and they see the greatness of the person. On the other hand, when a person has 61 home runs and so forth, the Hamoinam has that. And ultimately, it gets to the Chachomim. They're not so interested in that particular thing, but he created that point. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there was two things over here. There was a godless of Odom, and the Gemara brings it, he was a godless of Mitzrayim, and then the people saw that he's a different type of person over here. He's not the regular person. He's like a mala and so forth. And at the same time, they saw that he made miracles. It's interesting. that in the first two makkas, the Chatumim didn't recognize Moshe Rabbeinu. They also made the dam. They also made the what he called. When it came to the what he called to the Kenim, Ezbon and Kim. After that, they gave up. They so they can't. This man is not. He's not what we are. Or for. I'm bringing up him very Shoshanim. That so he's a different. It's not coming from Kishuf. It's not coming from magic and all that. This man is on a level. This is something from heaven. That's why they came. Not so simple. We couldn't do this. We couldn't make this. So forth. So, and the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was that at the same time, the person could be recognized on the highest level by the greatest of intellectuals, Avdei Parai, the Chatumim, the Sorin, the ministers, and so forth. And at the same time, at the same level, it was also Bnei Ham. The Amoret, the simple person, and so forth, was able to, each one got on his own. They saw the Nisim, the miracles that affected the people, and they saw and, he, and they saw the concept of what he represented himself. And both of them together, they but so he's got and Mitzray, Bnei Ham, and that in the concept of being the concept of greatness, that many times people are great in the eyes of a certain element, but other people don't recognize him. To me, it doesn't mean anything. Einstein was great, and the professors are well, fine. People are, oh, he's a great man, but they don't do with us. But the basketball player had to do with him, and they don't care about this, they don't care about that. But here, it meshed together the so-called earthiness of accomplishment in the sense of miracles in that sense, and what an average person sees right away, and the concept of greatness, intellectual, meshed together and so forth, and everybody understood that they were, you know, Moshe Ish, Moshe Godel Miyoid, both the Avdei Parai of any arm. And I brought that out, actually, in the concept where you find by certain people have a certain acceptance among others, because he's an intellectual first, and he knows how to study, how to learn. But at the same time, many people don't go for him. He's not, sometimes he's very affable, very, what you call, very gracious, and so on. Yes, people love him and so forth, but he's not that great intellectually, the people over there. And I wanted this particular question, I said, is the concept of the Hakul, I mean, it brings together like a Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, where he had this point of intellectual, and at the same time, he had the same idea of the what's came in the in a sense, in a completely 13 manner. That was the concept over here of that, but that was, I remember I brought that particular point. But that we see over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, that book was Moshe, why? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yisoid of Emes. Well, the Yisoid of Emes, as Shlomo Kluger brings over here, there can't be any what you call, any leeway. It's either it's true or it's not. But for example, Shlomo Kluger says an interesting example. He says, when God, when Hashem created the world, so Emes and Sholem were against, because Medrash brings over there, because the world is it's full of sheker, fighting, and so forth. And Tzedek and Chesed were for creation, and he'll give tzedakah, he'll give Chesed, and so forth. And, all right, what I said over here, the regular Am Ha'om, where they see good deeds and so forth. All right, so it's enough for creation, and they wanted more the different higher level of the person. So the Medrash brings it. The Baruch Hashem took the Emes and threw it down to the ground. So once he threw down the Emes, there were two against one. There was Tzedek and Chesed against Sholem. So he created the world. That's the Medrash. So Shlomo Kluger asked the question. He says, interesting thing. He says, Emes, he's not so good in the world. He said, Rashekha. He said, Sholem would be much. Why did he throw down Sholem? He would have thrown a bit of Sholem in the belt. He said, he could throw down Sholem. Why did he throw down Emes, Dafkin? So he says, very good, he says. He said, if Bernishel would have thrown down Sholem, he couldn't have created the world. Ah, you tell me the Tzedek and Chesed against Emes. There's no such thing as against Emes, he says. When Emes is the Emes, if this is the Emes, there's no Tzedek and Chesed against it. There can't be anything against it. So you can't overrule Emes. Emes takes over. If you took away the Emes, to make Sholem, you go with Chesed, you look this way, a cold piece, a hot piece, a warm piece, you could do it. But with Emes, you can't negotiate, you can't make. It's either it's Emes or it's not. It's not Shaya. You can't go Chesed above and beyond. And that was the difficult hour of the Moshe. When Aaron said to him, oh, he really wants to be your friend, the others that Moshe brings, and he wants to be your friend. He's to tell this story. A really deep down person wanted, yeah, he went with a certain understanding, like we said over here too, like Paroi, that put it for both, that it means that the really a person wants to be good, etc., etc. But that's not the emes, in the strict emes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe couldn't say that. Aaron could say that. Moshe couldn't say that. That's why Aaron is Oyev Shonu V'Roidev Shonu. And we in 99% of the cases go along with the Aaron Derech. To be the Moshe Derech is not an easy thing. And that's what we mean. But as Chasleu Miyat Melechim, it goes on such a Madrega, Yom Pashar Kiddush, I think it reaches such a height. And yet, miracle at the same time to be recognized by the average person, that's Godel Meoid. But the average person would be on such a level intellectually, wouldn't be like a Moshe recognized by the average person. That's that take Moshe Rabbeinu had that given by the Moshe, that chesed given went into him, that chayin and so forth, that he was able to have both in that particular sense. But the Yisoid, the basis, of course, was Emes. That was Yisoid of Emes, not Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, that's how it happened. That's why the Mishnah Poshuk says over here that the of the Paroi or both at the same time recognized. That's what I bring for a source of a Meshech Chochmah with my expound interpretation in sense and leading up to what we're seeing over here with Moshe Rabbeinu in that sense. That we see that was the point that we brought up on the Makya of Arabic, where it says that they told Moshe Rabbeinu. Then when it says warned him and so forth, and then it brings out by the point that when it came by the din of the Makia, by the Makia of Choshech, Makia of Choshech and so forth. It says over here that the Makia of Choshech brings now, yeah, that the that by it says by Yikra Paroi, right? That Paroi called Moshe Rabbeinu. He called Moshe Rabbeinu and said, go out of Mitzrayim, except you should leave the animals here and so forth. He wanted to test Moshe's brought down the Ramban, that to see if they want to escape or not in that particular sense. Oh, that's what he brought down over here. So the question is asked, how do we understand this over here? If, as I said, that the Makia of Choshech, how could Paroi get in touch with Moshe Rabbeinu? How did he do it? How did it happen? So it's interesting to note, there's a Targum Yonason, Ibn Ezra, and an Or Chaim. Now, I'm going to give you what they say, and I a whole week I'm going around. The Targum Yonason says, first of all, let's understand the Makia of Choshech. But the Pasuk says by the plague of Choshech, darkness, it says, Leiro ish es ochiv, leikomu ish mitachta, shloishes yomim. What does that mean? The implication seems to be that the Makia was only 3 days. It says, Moshe. However, Chazal say, what the pasuk means, "Lo ish es ochiv." One couldn't see the other. That's the 3 days. Well, I come wish me talk though. Then it became so thick and so bad. Rabban talks about it in Kaya, you know, that the last 3 days they couldn't move portion from their place. It's almost like a death sentence. The question is, if that's the case, how did he get in touch with Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Targum Yonason says that he says, "Ubesoif klosa yoimin." At the end of the 3 days, Kora Paralamosha, Paro called Moshe. I don't understand. I mean, what's at the end of the 3 days? If we'll say the Makia was only 3 days, and after that there was no more Choshech, So why would Paro do anything? The market stopped. The only time that Paro used to beg Moshe to stop it all down was the middle of the market. Get rid of this Mavis Hazeh, get rid of the Boron, get rid of the Shin, get rid of that, get rid of the Tzvadei, get rid of the Dam. But if it's over, it's over. What's shot after the 3 days? What does it mean? If we say the Matan was 6 days, then it became worse the next 3 days. So how do you get in touch with him? Of course, you don't understand. Unless we'll say, I was thinking, unless we'll say that when the 3 day period stopped, for that moment, there seemed to be a light, maybe, and then that second part of the month came upon them. So, right in between, he told somebody to run over to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know. That's all I can come up with. I really don't know. The Evan Ezra says the same thing. The Evan Ezra says over here, and so forth. She said, "Acha shloishi yomim." So he says, he seems to imply, that's the implication for the Archaim HaKodesh. He seems to imply that the matter is only 3 days. He says over here, "Vayikra acha shloishi yomim sheroo oir, sheroo oir." At that time, they saw light already. So my question over there would be, as I said, if it was over, then it's over. So what are you going to ask? Why would he say to Moshe, "Here, go out of Mitzrayim," and not? If Pari always didn't want to send them out, and he saw the market was over, so it was over. Unless we'll say that he was so broken by this market that after the market he said, "Go, but leave the animals here." Very, very sure. It's a very difficult to understand over here. But they say the Archaim HaKodesh brings it out in a sense where he says also. Yerachayim says, "But he could parry El Moshe." He said over here that Pirushi says, "Acha, sheshalmu yemei hachoshech." He says clearly, after the days of darkness completed, because Kaidim Lachayim, he says, "Lekamuish, by Kasha, they couldn't have done it before." So the question is, was after the Maki was over already? Why would Paro all of a sudden could call Moshe and say, "Go and leave over the animals"? What made him do that? Unless we'll say, again, like I said, maybe that's Swara, according to the Chaim and the Evan Ezra, that the pshat is that maybe that he was broken from the Maki of Moshe to the effect that he said, okay, go, but leave the animals here. And maybe with the Ramban, that he didn't mean to send him, but he wanted to test them to see who he's taking with him. Even though Moshe said that before. He said before that I'm taking everybody. He said that before in the beginning of Boy. But it could be that maybe Pari wanted to see what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say over here now. A little bit shorter. I found in the Tziv. And the Tziv says, very interesting. Tziv says the pshat. The Nitziv says, he says, I don't understand what they're, what all these pshatim, things that maybe as my kashis, I don't know. He says, you know what? He says, it says, Ulcho b'nei Yisrael, v'yor b'mayis v'yso. So wherever the Jew was, the miracle was that you were sitting in the dark, the mitzvah couldn't move, but the Jew walked around, it was light. He was able to see everything, Boshim. And this is, that was the Nisi Hashem. That's that was the market. So he said the Jews were by the Egyptians. Jews were working in the houses of the Egyptians. They were there. But when the market started, the Medrash brings Taka, they couldn't use them as slaves anymore. In fact, Jews were making money. They sold them water, etc. The Jews were, you take a Jew, you know, he made a couple of bucks already on the deal, on the market, and the Medrash brings. You know, every mitzvah needed help, but paid off the Jews to do it. So he wants to say pshat in it too, that at that time, by the Makkos Kodesh, since Paray knew that the Jew was there, and the Jew sees what's going on, he said, "Do me a favor, go to Moshe He sent the Jew to go to Moshe. That's what he said. Not the pshat that Pari sent his, like it all the time, that he sent his avodim to his sorim and so forth to go to Moshe Rabbeinu. But he sent this time, he sent the Jews. The Jews, Taki saw the light. In a sense, he sent them to go to Moshe. That's when he went to Moshe. So they could have gone in the 6 days. So the Makif would be Taki 6 days. They couldn't see. And the Jewish, whoever the Jew was, the Shliach that he sent, we talked to Avira, I don't know, whoever the Jew was at that time. And he said, and he sent it to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should, that he wants to talk to him, that he wants to, and then he told him that to send him out. That's what the Netziv says. Netziv says pshat. I haven't got the Netziv here, but that's what Netziv says pshat. Right, so that we can understand a little bit as far as the answer in this particular question, what it said, this particular point. Because we see that the Maki of Choshek really, in a way, it affected the Jews also. The way Maki of Choshek affected the Jews. Because we say that 4/5 of the Jewish people died at that time, but they sure didn't want to go out of Mitzrayim and so forth. But again, we see the Yisoid, as the Divrei Chaim brings down over there, that one of the Chassidim once came to Divrei Chaim, and he was very angry at a different chosid that treated him very badly and so forth. And actually, Tataka wronged him. It was a malicious, a wickedness that he did. And he asked the Divrei Chaim, he should be the spalo that this guy should be punished. He should mamish. And he said to the Chaim, he says, "I'm mitzvahim to mahagin in person. It's a mitzvah. He's mamish a rosh. He informed on me. The whole mice he brought out." So David Chaim said, "How do you know such a big mitzvah to kill him? How do you know such a big mitzvah to kill him? That even for Russia, it's a mitzvah to kill him? Who said it's a mitzvah to kill him?" He said, "Like we see, but a mayor was the spalo. His wife told him that he should do tshuva, not to kill him. And he brought the raya from here, from Chosha." He says, since the Jewish people, the Maki, one of the reasons Rashi says, was that people that were showing that passed away, that died at that particular time, and therefore they were punished, so forth. So it shouldn't be known to the Egyptians to keep it quiet. The Jews knew, they saw, they knew what was going on. But the Egyptians shouldn't know that, the Bechelel Hashem, and so forth, that the Moshe was killing his own people, etc., etc. But that was the Maisa of Maisa Chosha. So the Rechayim said, we say that God on Pesach, we say, the Maya Chayi, the Maya Chayi. And the Jew, we didn't have any schusim to go out of Mitzrayim. So the Moshe had to give them the seh, and so forth. And the dam, what to do by the Pesach, and so forth. You must, something they should do, the Shem Shemayim, you should have schus to go out of Mitzrayim. So he said, the Rechayim says, if it would be such a big mitzvah to bury the Shoyim, to destroy those that are wicked and so forth. So they had a lot of mitzvahs here. They were burying all the Rishoyim at that particular time. Those that were Kuyam Misa and with Roshim killed them in the Shemayim. And still we see it said they didn't have any shkusim. It's the sinner from here, David Chaim says, even for persons of Rosh, and he's Kuyam Misa, and you have to bury him and so forth, but it's not a big mitzvah. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah to do that. It's nothing grace a mitzvah. That's what he told. He says, you're not allowed to say such a thing. The dafim bagrobim, samitzvim to bagrobim. Many times people express themselves, samitzvim, ois seras, to tear apart, to destroy and so forth. He says, so this is great mitzvah. You're not allowed to do that. You see from here, he says. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to have this, the seh. You wouldn't have to have the dam. You had the mitzvah of buried the rishoyim. That's what the Rechaim said at that particular time. Well, you see again from here that the yisoid is when you go with the derech ha-emes in that particular sense, That's the guy. That's the leadership at that particular point. Now there are certain times when the point to the halacha even that a person that could be mishadim in emes, like the what Chazal bring, you know, by even by Sora, but the boy's son, Sheila, and she said Adoni is okay, even though Rani's a kanti and so forth. I didn't say Adoni is okay, but over there the pshat the boy's son didn't say a lie. Chazal Shalom. He said that was also true. He just said that part. See, there's a yisoid of emes where the thing is that many times when a person, the Chofetz Chaim speaks on that, many times when a person, when you can't tell the truth to the extent where it's lashon hara and so forth, but if a certain part is true and you don't have to resort to the other part, you tell the other part that's true. That's not called lying, which means shina. He switched. Because of the concept, because he didn't want to embarrass Avraham Avinu, She didn't want to say Adonis Zocchi. She said Valizio Conti, which was Emma's. So she was Valizio Conti. She said on herself, she says that she has no more, what do you call it, to bear children. And here I'm going to have a child. She said on herself too. But she stressed the idea of Adonis Zocchi. That the Moshe didn't stress that. They did it fine by Rivka. That Rivka used the ruse for Yitzchok to say that she didn't want Yaakov to marry from the Eretz Canaan to go to Lavan. But really, the real reason, the real basic reason was because Esav wanted to kill him. But she didn't tell that to Yitzchok. She said, why should I tell that? And I spoke about that once in Rosh Hashanah. So it's over there, it's not a lie. Over there, that I'm using partial, what's true, I'm saying the truth. But I'm not resorting to the other type of truth where I don't have to mention it now. I don't want to mention it to bring out that it could cause some sort of disruption and so forth, but to mention it. But the side of Emes has to be what you say Emes has to be Kulei Emes. That's the pshat, which means the Emes cannot be a false Emes. It cannot be an Emes based on Sheker or full Sheker. That can't be. That's the side. And that's what we find in the Moshe Rabbeinu on that particular point. And that, he said, that was the Moshe Emes, it's not the Emes. And it's interesting that Ish Moshe honored me, oi, Mikolo Adam, Shapreo Adama, to be the most humble of all people, Akolo Adama, and so forth. And yet, to go with Emes is Emes. I'm going to pray for you. Wasn't the question of Gaivan Moshe Rabbeinu? That's what I have to say. That's what has to be. And I once brought that out in a different context as well. The Gemara Soiter. And what the Gemara says, the Soiter, I'll end with this piece. I want to continue on with the famous Ramban at the end of the parasha, fantastic Ramban that speaks about the basis of mitzvahs, how they resort back to the whole concept of Mitzrayim. You see, it's Mitzrayim. So, but we'll have to continue that next time, bring it in with Parsha B'Shalach. But I just want to end with this point that in Masechta Sotah it says over here, when the Shemesh Rebbe is, it was says there, Batla Nova, that the humbleness and humility was became very weak, more says in Sotah. So the more says, Rav Yosef, Nova, don't say that humility was gone because Nika, no, I'm still here. So everybody has to cash over there. I mean, that's humbleness, that's humility. He can know that I'm here. He said it himself. So they bring from the Goyim. I never found it. Never, they don't find it. He claimed, the Goyim says, that there's in Yerushalmi, there's a Tana called Anor. And could be, he said he meant that Tana, the Ike Anor. Anor, there's still an honor over here at that particular time. That could be. That's what the reason from the Goyim. But I want to say, Parshat Pshat, I once told the Shira that the Pshat over there is that humbleness, humility also, it's like you have to learn from people. Which means, like the more brings in Brochus by Ben Azai, and Rabbi Akiva, when he followed his Rebbe Yoshua into the men's room, the bathroom, and he said, Torahi, I have, how the Rebbe acts, how he, that's what you have to learn. That's called Shimush. That the following the experiences of how the person lives in the middle should learn more than from the what you call the formal type of learning. That's the informal learning. Having misavik as a and there's two ways of learning. There's formal learning and informal learning. And you learn from the person where you act with the person, you live with him in close contact with the person, and you emulate him, you see his ways, how he speaks, how he davens, how he learns, and that's how you emulate him in the way of learning, etc., etc. That's the concept of it. So I said over here, by the concept of humility too, that Yosef said, wanted to say, halacha, if you're going to say that we can't see anivus anymore, we can't, what you call, comprehend that in the as it was before, after Rebbe died, who re represented the biggest honor, so to speak, biggest humble person in that sense. But no, I have to tell you not like that. There is, I'm here, which means it's not, that's not gaiva. It's the halacha. When it comes to halacha of emes, you have to say that I'm an honor. I mean, it's not that snapshot that there's anivus over here. It's not a question that the person is showing off at that particular time. But you have to know there is somebody to learn from. But maybe there are no means talking myself, but there is somebody to learn from yet, and I'm trying to exude that. And of course, each one has to be humble in his way, in that particular sense. That the concept of the concept of the side of anivus, but that's the side of emes has to be that has to be the underpinning foundation of emes has to go through completely with that part of emes and so forth. Whatever you say, as the Chofetz Chaim said, whatever you say, the emes has to be emes, doctor. And that's why you have to be very careful when you speak on the shiduchim or other things, or shiharu and nechilu, part of person, if you have to be very careful what you say and bringing out the emes, that's enough to exaggerate, et cetera, in that particular sense. Because once you veer from the emes, not emes. If it's not emes, then it's also. So it doesn't, then you haven't got the right to say it in that sense. But that could be what Yoshi meant over there, the concept of anivus in the sense of humbleness and humility. Okay, I went a little bit long on this particular part, so I didn't get to the next part, but Mitzvah will continue next time with that Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy that speaks about Ruba the mitzvahs, how they react, how we're supposed to consider them in the format of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the majority of mitzvahs and so forth in general. That's what the Ramban in general speaks about in that particular place at the end of this parasha. Any questions? Any?
Rav Kurzweil, yes, you're clear.
That's clear.